Hi, everyone. Welcome to Under My Host. I'm Corey. Producers Tyler and Porter are with me today.
Hello.
Brian. Hello. Brewer Brian is joining us. Brian Sullivan is sitting with us. Everybody's joining us from Chicago today. Well, and one from Gary, Indiana, kind of Chicago. Our guest host today, Drew Fox, 18th Street Brewery, Freddie Swalm of Capone's Liquor, Colin Joliet of Craft by Under My Host, and our guests, well, maybe guests, but our guests are Spiteful Brewing's Brad Schaefer and Jason Klein. Brad may be popping in and out. Brad's not popping in and out, but we're going to just tell you he is. If for some reason he does happen to pop in, and but we'll talk to Jason for as long as we can. And so hi, everybody. Welcome back.
What's up? What's going on?
Not much.
Hello.
Hello. So I'm going to say of all next to Pipeworks, like I feel like there's like this generation of, I mean, obviously not the same age, but a generation of brewers that have kind of all come up through the ranks together. And of course it would be like Pipeworks, Drew, you know, 18th Street. But I've been hearing about Spiteful for as long as I've been hearing about 18th Street. Brad worked at Pipeworks with Drew. And so I've just, and then of course, Drew was contract brewing at Pipeworks and at Spiteful for a period of time until his brewery was ready. So the guys are friends. They've all worked together. They all know each other. So it is nice to talk to you, Jason. I've been hearing about you guys for so long and about your beers, and Drew's been telling me forever, you've been killing it. So we're excited to be able to taste your beers and talk to you guys. So why don't you just tell everybody about Spiteful, like how you and Brad got started and what you were doing prior to. You guys didn't start out, like you didn't get out of college and just immediately become brewers. So what was the path that led you to become brewers?
Well, we met actually as kids on the pond playing hockey. We were both playing hockey, and it's kind of was a smaller community when we were younger. A lot more people play now, but and then we actually reconnected in high school when we were on the same team. So we became good friends throughout high school. Went to school. We actually went to the same school for a year, but then Brad transferred to Boulder, where he was introduced to good beer. So he's been drinking craft for a long time, but then he moved back. I think he stayed in Boulder for a little while, and then moved back to Chicago, and neither of us were really happy with what we were doing. We kind of were trying to figure out what to do, and we were just kind of throwing ideas around, and originally we thought we might open up a bar, but for anyone that's been to Chicago, there's a few of those, and it's not really something you can start small and scale up like a nano brewery or a brewery is. So during this process, Brad kind of introduced me to good beer, and so I started drinking craft beer and really liking it. And it kind of just hit us that, you know, hey, let's start a brewery. It's something we're both passionate about and something that we can start small and scale up, which is kind of unique. I don't think there's a lot of businesses that you can do that. You can't open a mini bar.
Yeah.
I just have to go all in. So this allowed us to start small and figure it out and learn on our own pace. And so, yeah, we aggressively homebrewed for 3 years, read everything we could, and brewed 2 or 3 times a week, every week. And then Brad and was fortunate enough to work with Drew at Pipeworks and get some of that commercial experience. And I was actually fortunate enough to get a job on the packaging side a little bit. So I kind of learned that side of it. And together we were able to kind of take those skill sets and hit the ground running.
The information on your site says you guys were founded in January 2010, but that's not when you guys started production brewing.
No, we didn't. So the concept was probably November 2009, but the company was actually officially started in 2010. And then it took us all the way to December 4th, 2012 to deliver our first beer.
Yeah, that's why I thought the time frame was more like, I was trying to remember. Yeah.
Of course, we thought it wasn't going to take that long, but it always takes twice as much time and twice as much money. It's kind of the old adage, and the time certainly rings true. There's a lot of other players that involve that you don't necessarily have control over.
What was so the
timing was certainly longer.
Was it the Chicago Brewers, Craft Brewers Association that just released that film that you guys were featured in? It was really good. I can't remember
It was. Yeah. Yeah, it was for, it's the promotional video for Chicago Craft Beer.
Yes. Okay. That's what I,
so the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, yeah, produced that.
And your, you know, their stories in there and how, and just the amount of growth, like anybody right now who's, who's in craft beer, you know, and it's funny because, you know, we're at work, we're getting to that point. Not so much in Atlanta, because Atlanta is just starting to have some breweries that I'm really excited about popping up. But you guys really kind of got in under the wire. It seems like there's things are coming to, they're slowing down a little bit. So it is interesting. Everybody, I feel like everybody in Chicago is just amazing. And it, everybody's really lucky because a lot of you, it's really not, with the exception of like the off-color guys, coming from such a large production, even for craft, and then some of the guys, you know, like Tom at Penrose coming from AB and Bev, it seems like everybody just happened to have just a natural ability to make beer, because you know, you guys know there's tons of home brewers that are starting in their breweries and it's just, they should just not.
Yep.
But you guys are all, you know, it's true. We've all had that beer. I drink, yeah. But so what is it like? I mean, how, you know, there's so many great breweries in Chicago. How are the other brewers with you? Are you collaborating with a lot of people in within Chicago or outside of Chicago? Do you feel like they're really taking you in under their wing and helping you guys just find your way as brewers?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the community is great. I mean, if you have questions, there's forums that have been set up for just Chicago and groups and whatnot. And even through the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild listserv, if you have a question, there's more than enough people that will help you, which is a nice feeling, especially when you're just starting out, because everybody has questions. So if you think you know everything, then you're probably going to make a few mistakes. And it's nice to have people to fall back on that you, you know, can trust. You, there are no stupid questions, and you know, the people are very helpful, which is really nice.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Most of the people who aren't successful, it's because they don't have the confidence with their brewing. They don't ask questions because they don't. Whether they're afraid of being told they're doing something wrong or they just think they're right. I do think that's most of the stuff that you taste that just feels like a great big fail is kind of from that area. But so yeah. I want to talk about, have you guys ever done a collaboration together?
So the first collaboration we did was actually with a brewery out of Alaska called Denali Brewing. Mm-hmm. We met them at Spovab and they emailed us we met them about 2 years ago. And then for this year, they emailed us and said, hey, we're coming in. They had never done a collaboration and they're like, do you guys want to do something? And to us, that makes sense because they brought blueberries from their state and we used mustard seeds to kind of represent, you know, Chicago and mustard. And we made a blueberry mustard seed saison, and there's a story there that meant something. So to us, it's
got to be... Is that the hot dog in the bush? Is that the hot dog in the bush beer?
It certainly is, yeah.
Now it's coming together, because that was on my list of like, I need to ask them about the hot dog in the bush.
Oh, you don't want to know that story. You don't want to know.
Drew, I don't want to know. You know me well enough. Of course.
It's a perfectly clean, legitimate name that describes... What's going
right.
on? So, I mean, yeah, as far as a collaboration down the line, I mean, certainly we've always talked about it with Drew, but us trying to get our shit up and running, and Drew, of course, working his ass off getting 18th Street up and running, there hasn't been a lot of time for stuff like that. So I think until we kind of hit our stride and we're doubling capacity, which is why I've been somewhat absent from emails and whatnot.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. we're installing the glycol ourselves.
Oh, wow.
It's time consuming and we have to get the tanks in. And we're in the brew house and the tanks themselves are only in 480 square feet. And it's going to be a total of 12 tanks, 5 7 barrels and 7 5 barrels and a brew house. And we can in there, and we bottle in there. So it's a bit of a dance to get things in and out. Freddie's been there. Of course, Drew's brewed there. So it's not big. We don't have the luxury of space, so we do a lot of stuff ourselves.
Right.
And it's exciting to double capacity, but it's certainly been a stressful couple of weeks here.
What, and of course, like, I want to get on to talking about your beers, but since we're on, you know, since it kind of fits in right here, where are you guys distributing right now? Just in Chicago? Are you outside of the city, outside of the state yet?
Nowhere near outside of the state. We're primarily in the city. Our cans, our six packs are only in the city. It's been a challenge with the can for sure. The Bombers have moved out to the suburbs just because bombers tend to move a little bit slower than six packs. But we certainly had the count in, I can't even tell you the last count we added. Because since we started canning, we've really tried to make that focus.
Yeah.
That's what we buy in the stores. And bombers are awesome to get a nano off the ground. But bombers should be reserved for bomber beers.
Yeah.
We've always thought that. And we were excited to be able to kind of follow through with that once we got to canning line. So, we're kind of balancing it out right now. We still do a lot of bombers.
Well, let's talk about, I want to talk about your Spiteful IPA. And this is, I couldn't really tell from the site, like what your core beers, what your year rounds are. I'm assuming this is one of your year rounds.
It is. So it's the Spiteful IPA and the Alleytime Pale Ale are certainly year round beers. We are not able to brew anything else consistently as far as six packs go, just because those two take up all of our time. We, with the new tanks, we'd like to add a third or fourth, maybe, six pack that will rotate. We have done in the past our Fat Badger Irish Ale and our In the Weeds American Wheat Ale in cans, but we haven't been able to keep up with those. So we hope to bring those back kind of maybe spring, summer for the wheat and then maybe, you know, fall, winter for the, Irish Ale. Irish Red Ale. So, and then we're actually going to be mixing some tall boys in there as well, full pack of kind of not necessarily one-offs, but more limited release stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we don't have to buy, we can't buy pre-printed cans. So we can come out with a new four pack every month if we want to, which is kind of nice to have that flexibility that the big breweries don't have.
Right. I did notice that you guys, that there's the actual label on. And I think that you, that even showed that in the video we were talking about for Chicago Beer Week. But so is there anything you want to tell listeners that haven't had a chance to try the Spiteful IPA yet? You want to talk about it a little bit? Because we're all ready to open your next beer. We're just...
Okay, yeah, sure. No, the Spiteful IPA was... we were able to get our hands on some Eldorado hops, which we had not really worked with as homebrewers. I don't even think it was out yet. And are certainly not available to the homebrewing community. And we really like the aroma and flavor that it gives off. So that beer is primarily Eldorado. But as Drew can tell you, and pretty much any other brewer will tell you, hops like that, you can't really count on if you don't have a contract. And we do not have a contract.
Even if you do.
So that will actually be running out, and we're going to rotate a different hop, most likely, into that beer. But we're not going to be shy about it. I mean, we're going to, you know, probably change the colors of the labeling a little bit. And like, so people understand that it is a different hop, and we kind of have the ability to play around there and be flexible with it. We do have some good hops under contract that we haven't used yet, so we're kind of excited about what could come from that beer. But the base recipe will stay the same. I mean, it's a little more dry. It's not a real heavy beer. We don't use a lot of specialty grain in it. We kind of really let the hops stand out. Bitter with Warrior. And then just kind of let the aroma and finishing hops take over with a little bit of specialty grains to kind of give it something to stand on, but not, you know, it's standing on a thin piece of plywood, so to speak, of concrete.
I was going to ask real quick, how many elephants were injured in the making of this label?
I know, Jason. What's up with that?
Yeah. What's up with the what's up with the missing trunk?
Yeah, no, the elephant that cut its own trunk off.
What's up with the what?
The elephant that cut his own trunk off.
On the label, there's
a butcher knife.
Because.
No, it's because you got to, you know, you've never heard the cut off your nose to spite your face?
Yeah. Oh, spiteful.
Nice.
Dent.
Pool of blood's a nice
term. Yeah. It's kind of a Buster Stone chain, but it's. Yeah, that's kind of that's how we kind of vision. There's nothing worse than cutting off your own nose despite your face.
You'll get those sayings from these guys all the time. I mean, from working with Brad and you know, having the pleasure of sitting with Brad and Jason. It can get pretty fucking stupid sometimes. So it took me a while to catch on. And well, it's like, really? Did you say that? Really?
Well, I totally want to go over. And I couldn't. For a brewery that has only been in production since 2012, you guys have to. Well, because you do. You do a lot of one-off. So, and it's kind of like the ATG thing again, where you have, the ability to come up with so many different beers when you are brewing that way, but your names are really funny. And I definitely wanted to talk about them. I want to talk about the Gold Coast Problems. This is their whip beer before we start talking about anything else.
Okay. So Gold Coast Problems, Drew. Drew knows all about what we're talking about there, I think.
You mean about the wet beer? You mean like Kill Whitey?
Or about the Gold Coast?
Drew used to work downtown, you know, Chicago in the Gold Coast. I think that's considered Gold Coast, right, Drew?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a certain type of people that tend to live there, and we're kind of just poking fun at that whole attitude. It's, you know, not having your name.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to grab the rest of this.
I mean, he's talking about the label.
You know, yeah. I mean,
the label and the name, where the name comes from. It's kind of a, you know, we're just kind of making fun of that whole scene in Chicago.
Well, it's like Atlanta to call it when people talk about like Buckhead Betty's, or yeah, there's the valet taking too long to retrieve your Benz, hostess lost your reservation,
I mean,
bouncer say your name isn't on the list. We have a prescription for all these Gold Coast problems.
Why do you think I started writing about booze? I couldn't get on any list. So I'm like, hey, I'm a writer. Now taking it for free because I can't afford anything.
But they let you in places.
Yeah.
So you have that.
Out of my element.
So, well, Jason, tell us about the beer.
So it's based off a traditional wit beer recipe. The only, I guess, non-traditional part about it would be the alcohol is a little bit higher, being that it's in a bomber. What the hell did we make that one? I don't even remember. 6.4. So
yes.
It's a little bit stronger than your typical wit, but as far as the ingredients go and the yeast selection that we use, it's pretty much true to style. Coriander and zest, citrus zest, which we used, I think, about 5 or 6 different types of oranges to kind of layer the complexity a little bit with the aroma. Everything from blood oranges to kumquats went into that beer. So it was kind of a fun one to make.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. When you think of Belgian whites, the coriander and that, but yeah, but the kumquats, orange, that's definitely not
interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's good.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. But I want to talk about, well, we already talked about the one that I did think that was one of the funnier, the hot dog meets the bush. But okay, so well, Brad, who's not joining us, when the guys returned, Jason returned.
Brad would like to say hello to Drew. So,
hold on. Why not? It's a good time.
Fuck you, Corey. Just Drew.
Is that right?
Brad is on with us. We're on speaker. So, how you guys doing?
Hey, great, Brad. How are you doing?
How are you, man?
Well, I'm glad you're getting on at the perfect time. Say hi to Drew because I wanted to ask you about some of these beers. So when Brad moved back to Chicago, Jason had already been back and was kind of working corporate. He was a bike messenger. So I think he was a really bitter bike messenger because all the names are so funny. There's Bike Messenger Appreciation IPA, Bitter Biker Double IPA. And then there's a lot to do with pigeons. Now, I don't know if it was a pigeon issue as a messenger or if it's just because you're living in the city, but the names cracked me up. I was like, it really, really stuck. But I do think that these guys are guys that name beers. Like something happened and it prompts them, like, because I want to know who Chatty Cathy is, and
or like the poor driver
burning
ones,
bridges.
Yeah.
I want to know some of these. I'm like, I have a feeling these got named. They were named after the corporate guy, Wheat Wine Ale. So no, I did think it was really funny because the bike messenger. I couldn't keep writing all of these down because they have so many beers already. But so what was it like being a bike messenger in Chicago? A good experience.
I was a very bitter person before I started. being a bike messenger, you've got to deal with, you know, people in your way. You're dealing with corporate people that think they're better than you. So, you know, it just added to my frustration with people. And pigeons actually, I used to try and run pigeons over when I was on my bike.
No, because
they're calling you guys right now, man.
There's goddamn Cascara pigeon porter, goddamn pigeon porter. There were so many. Oh, and I wanted to know who Debbie Downer was that you named the Dunkelweizen after.
not all names have a specific person.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, right. Something we joke about. Like Vernon Bridges was a friend from college. He used to get really drunk and he used to burn bridges when he would go out. You know, so names that we use a lot are funny. You know, we make the beer and the company, you know, about ourselves. So it's stuff that we
you know, give our friends hard times, or, you know, give each other shit about. You know, we make fun of each other, and it's that kind of stuff that names that we think are funny, we think apply, and it's a beer, so it should be funny. It should be something that you can associate with, something that you can, you know, people can pick up that bottle. Everybody knows someone that is a bridge burner. Everybody knows someone that's a Debbie Downer. Everybody knows Chatty Cathy. Everybody knows someone that's a time stealer.
I'm sorry, who, what was the last one?
Time killer.
So you actually know, is there an actual book who gets shit-faced at lunch?
No, do you know, I somehow want to get every brewer that I know that has a sense of humor to come up with a Jeremy Danner beer. It's just because we're just torture Jeremy Danner with the, you know how John did the off color beer. So every time, like anybody, if it ever comes up, like on Twitter, and then everybody starts sharing it just so you can like totally. Yeah. So if we need to do it, Drew, you gotta make some funny name for Danner so we could just keep torturing Danner with the name. And I think he actually takes it in stride. At least it's not Tom Quarter's a jerk, which I thought was.
Yeah, that's true.
So well, Brad, we're shocked, probably not as shocked as Drew is that you're joining us. Is there anything that you want to tell us about the brewery or how much you love being a brewer, you know?
I just lost all my money. I just bet $40 you wouldn't get out.
I don't know what else to ask him. I haven't thought of a Brad
really
question.
Since Drew cannot see me right now, I just wanted you to know that my hand is coming under my chin. Right back at you, buddy. Right back at you. But, you know, it's like I enjoyed being a bike messenger. That was, you know, I've kind of lived my life to always enjoy going to work. It's something that I think sometimes people take it for granted, but, you know, I never wanted to go the corporate way. That wasn't me. I always wanted to do something that I enjoyed. And bike messaging was great, but you know, it just gets to a point and you need something more. And being able to come to a place like Spiteful every day, you know, I feel happy waking up. I feel excited about what the day is going to bring. And working with the other four guys that I'm working with, you know, it's awesome. Coming to work is awesome. It feels good. I enjoy working with my hands and making stuff, making something from pretty much nothing and turning it into beer. Yeah. So
true that. I mean, it's true. I mean,
well, no. You went to Denver. I know you guys started off in Arizona at university and you ended up going up to Denver, to Colorado. What were the breweries there that really turned you on to handcrafted beer? I mean, whatever Drek you guys were drinking before that, I don't know, but what was the stuff that you were drinking that made you come back to Chicago and think about making beer yourself?
Left Hand Brewery, I drank Sawtooth Ale like it was my job. That was the dream.
Your parents are proud.
Left Hand's a great brewery, but Avery, Boulder Beer, you know, there's out there, it's a different way. It's different, like everybody. Craft beer is the way of life out there, and it's always been like that. Chicago's finally catching up with that. But when I first moved back here, my friends, including Jason, used to make fun of me for going to the bar and ordering. You know, I'd be looking at the tap handles like, oh, what do they got? And everybody else is drinking Miller Lite. So I used to make fun of them, like, you know, I think these guys are idiots. They're drinking Miller Lite. And finally, Chicago, you know, oh, now there's a beer scene here, and everybody's excited about it. People can't wait for the, you know, new releases of what's going on, and you know these companies are popping up, and it's great. There's all kinds of good beer in Chicago, and it's, you know, it's taken a while. Goose Island's great, but that was only one company. So finally, you're seeing a lot of different options and a lot of people doing different things, and you know it's neat to be a part of what's going on or what has gone on in Chicago and what continues to go on. Because it's unique. Chicago is now a unique beer city, and it was never like that.
It was really funny when you said that, because when I got the bio stuff from Jason, and he made the comment about when you came back from Denver, you were really the one who turned him on, you know, to craft beer. And I was picturing his friends like just being like, oh, this asshole. Because you know, it's like, you know, when you're the first person, like when you're like that one person that's so into this beer, and everybody, like when like the guys like first came on doing the show, and they're like, try this beer, and you're just like, that that stuff is terrible. And so, right, you know, you guys all know, you've all been there. It's like, you're the asshole in the group because like, you're just like, no, it's Drew, you know, cause like you were so into food and you were a chef. It's like when you like, you are have all this experience with these like amazing things. And then you try to like taste or drink or eat something that's not, you're like, I can't.
It tastes like shit.
Yes. And you can't, like, people look at you like, God, you're such an asshole. And it's like, you can't help it. It's like, I, you know, like, I'm not going to make excuses. I was like, I just don't like it. But no, I thought when he said that, I was like, yeah, I bet when he came back, because they're all like young guys, you know, they're like, ah, Jesus. You know, it's like they just want to get like their like $10 pitcher of whatever's on special. But anyway.
People have finally accepted it. Now it's cool to go out and drink craft beer. So you have that whole thing where people are excited about what's going on and people are, you know, they want to try new stuff. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And really the stuff like, you know, that you guys make that so many of the brewers in Chicago are making really is outside of the box. More, you know, Chicago, I mean, stuff in California is really great, you know, and I do think they're doing stuff a little bit different in the Northwest, like much further. But I do think what's going on in Chicago, some places in Colorado, you guys really experiment and do fun stuff. And I like that there's such a sense of humor.
Is there a cow or something?
I thought it was a goose. I was like, do we have goose?
Stepping on a cow's neck right now?
Do you guys have any questions for the guys?
I do have some questions.
So one of the guys at the brewery, right?
Well, no, I used to live actually right where your brewery, well, I used to live Cullum and Ravenswood. And I used to ride my bike by your place all the time. And I'd be like, oh, Spiteful Brewing. And they're like, but it's like a little... It's a tiny building. I mean, I don't know if you guys are in the same spot right by the tracks, like kind of that you are now, I mean, assuming, but.
Yeah, no, we're still like right there on Berteau and Ravenswood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly not a big building's large, but our unit's pretty small. But it's forced us to be very efficient with our space. Nice.
Well, that leads into my next question. I wanted to know, I mean, you guys started as a pretty small, like a nano brewery. You're doing like, we do 25 gallons at a time or something?
We originally were going to do Sabco and just pick up like one on-premise account and kind of just take it from there. But then once we connected with the Pipeworks guys and saw what they were doing, we decided to kind of follow a similar model. The problem was we had already signed a lease on our 480 square foot plate. So we ended up scanning our three barrel brew house and 7 5 barrels in that space. And it's the same system we're still on.
Oh, okay.
So we've been cranking out 35 barrels a month since, like for a year and a half now. And we're in the process of getting 5 more 7 barrels. So we're doubling in size and soon we'll be cranking out 70 barrels a month.
And you guys are, you're doing all your distribution yourself or?
We are, yeah.
Nice. And that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but it's a luxury when you're small like that compared to like Georgia.
Oh, I know.
Or have you guys seen what's going on in Florida?
It allows any small brewery to survive, really. Without it,
right.
I don't think small is popping up.
Yeah, here we don't have that. And of course, you guys know in Florida, the distributors are trying to make the small breweries fall in line with the same restrictions that the large breweries have, where they want them to have to sell their beer to the distributors and then have to buy it back from the distributors, it's going to put them under. Yeah.
There's no way. Something like that.
Well, you got. Did you see like Joey from Cigar City is threatened to leave the state? Yeah.
You should too.
We'll see what happens. It looked like it was going through, but it got so much publicity that I think that maybe they're going to rethink it. We'll see.
I think that's really good. You guys have, you know, obviously in the Chicago area, you know, the neighborhood thing is so big. So I mean, just in that neighborhood alone, you're not too far from Half Acre, and you know, Spiteful's right there. I mean. That's awesome to be beer living heaven. In that neighborhood to, you know, have such good beer so close to you.
The neighborhood is great. And with the distribution thing, I joke that it's a pain in the ass. I mean, it's a lot of work, but at the same time, we wouldn't really do it any other way because we get to go see and, like, we get to connect and have that face-to-face with, you know, the people that are selling our beer, and they're more than just customers. And I think without self-distribution, we wouldn't necessarily be able to do that.
Yeah.
I I'll chime in really quick. I know I don't want to beat that horse, but I think, you know, it's going to take a minute for these corporate assholes to wake up and understand that, you know what, you can buy up all the small breweries you want. And you can try to shut us down in so many ways all you want. But I think, you know, between, you know, the smaller breweries, you know, we're going to eventually get to a point where we exceed anywhere from 12, 13, 14% market share.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the recent article about Coors where, you know, we're just killing them. And I think if all small breweries and craft breweries continue to make great beer, not make shitty beer, make great beer,
right,
I think that would become a non-issue. And I think, you know, it's extremely important to us. I mean, I don't want to give up 30% in distribution because 30%, that's my payroll. That's what I pay my staff.
Right.
You know, and to give that up, those corporate douchebags will never understand that. It's the people behind the kettle and behind that label every single day who put just more than their heart and soul into what we do every day.
Well, you're, I mean, and you know, I wish I could remember, you know, Joe Tucker had posted something he wrote, you know, it's funny because we're all going to like try to throw out definitions, you know, for craft and for him, you know, and the thing that I like you're saying and that I say and kind of what Joe said is it is about the human beings that are behind a business. It's not the machine. So yeah, I mean, we could all talk about this over and over and God, I hope that the industry again, Drew, whether it's like Fermilab or somebody else, decides to put the energy forth to do it themselves because I don't want to do it. To come up with a every time it comes up, I was like, I'm hoping somebody just beats me to that punch. You know, it's weird when it's nonprofit. Nobody's really that interested in jumping in. But yeah, the definition needs to be there. It's so confusing for consumers to understand the difference. You know, even like when these companies are bought up, just how it changes that it's, you know, it's like this little ecosystem. When you're this company and the people that are feeding off of those businesses, you know, the markup isn't the same and you guys can afford to pay your people more because you're not having to give a certain percentage to somebody else to do the exact same thing that you're already doing. It's literally just moving a bottle from here to there. So yeah, it cuts in to their business. That's kind of the point. You know, it's I don't know what will happen. And, you know, the three-tier system is so flawed. And I'm sure there was a time where, like anything else, like child labor laws and unions, you know, there's some things that
labor laws.
No, I'm just saying there's certain things like, you know, now can you like see like somebody making like in the States, like a five-year-olds aren't going to work. But I mean, there are certain things that needed to be put in place at one time. The three-tier system, I'm sure, was necessary. I don't know for who, but I'm sure that there was a need for it. It's a mess and they really need to do something. I don't know how or when it's going to change. But anyway, yeah, I mean, that's like a whole nother story. Like alcohol, it's a whole nother show to talk about alcohol laws and distribution.
As an outsider, someone who has no beer to sell, it seems like, you know, before craft beer was the big thing, then it made sense because it's like you need somebody to convince them it's a good idea. Whereas now you don't need to convince anybody that craft beer is a good idea to have.
Yeah, you think that's true, but it's not. We're so in it. You just don't realize how many people don't see that. But like when you just don't realize that we all live in a major city. We all live in a major city. So it's like the places where they are, you know, there's still a, you know, 87, 88% market share. Like these are, you know, it's like the middle of the country where like if everything fell in, we probably wouldn't notice. But like those are where the dollars are still being spent. It's like it's not, you know, the coastal cities and the major cities in this country, but people just don't know about it. Because you have to remember, like these guys, you know, Pipeworks, you know, Spiteful, Drewsbury, they can't afford to market and advertise. So if it's not word of mouth or and if it's not something that you live near where they're producing it or a bar or a restaurant serving what they have, people don't know. You know about it because you're so lucky to be in Chicago. I guarantee you most of the people that download this show won't know who Spiteful is because Spiteful's not outside of your area at the moment. So, and that's what most of these, like these 2,800 breweries that are out there, they're not these big names. You know, you'll go to the stores and it's the same names you see on the shelves.
As Brad, or is Brad or Jason's on the phone right now? We're both actually.
Yeah.
Okay, and Drew would also
people don't understand as far as self-distribution, one of the most underrated things when people miss about this self-distribution is quality control as well.
Yeah. Right, right.
So for them, it's also self-distribution is not all only about cutting corners and saving the dollar. It's also about quality control.
Exactly. You know who's carrying your stuff. You know, it's one of the things that when we did, when I talked to the guys from Funkworks, they were so not interested in, their whole thing was just doing the bottling, which is kind of unusual for a Colorado brewery, right? They usually it's, you know, they want to do everything on draft, but they were so concerned that the gas and the way that the guns were going to be set up, that people were not going to be given their beer the way they intended it to be. So their preference was to make less and to put it in a bottle. And it may have changed now. They may have changed their philosophy, but yeah. So when you, if you think something's going to sit on a shelf for too long, or it's going to, you know, be in like this old hot van for hours on end, like nobody wants their stuff to not be handled the way that they know it's going to deliver the freshest, best possible product.
Yeah. No, I mean, we have the people and we know it doesn't go to someone else when we don't know what happens to it. Like,
right.
It's in our control. Having that connection and that kind of streamline, if something isn't moving, we know about it. And, you know, if we have to do something about it, then we can, and hopefully we don't have that issue. But having that feedback and that ability to control the product all the way till the end is something that's certainly of a huge benefit.
Well, and it's not even so much like having this other person. I always tell people, like, if you've got a question about a product, or if you, I mean, I think most brewers are open to constructive criticism or want to hear if you went to a bar and their lines were disgusting and you got a really bad product, it was probably not the brewery's fault. You know, it's like people don't realize that, you know, once it leaves their facility, they don't have, you really don't have complete control. Like if it's in a bottle and it's turned around and sold immediately. But in a lot of places where if it's on draft and it's not somebody who knows what they're doing, but I'm like, rate them, tell them, like, don't write off the brewery because you had a bad beer.
Yeah.
Like we'll drink a beer and we'll know that something's off.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between like a beer being off and a beer being a bad beer. So yeah, I still think when you're dealing with these small businesses, the people really care about their customers and they care about the product enough that they want to hear back. These guys may be like, "Don't tell people to email us."
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Got enough to do.
But I do. I think mostly you guys would want to know, like, if somebody's not. I mean, everybody is. You know, the thing that I love about small businesses and breweries and distillers and like, they want their product to get better. And we always say that there's that evolution. And I don't care. I mean, this was like something I've said to Gagne, and I think he got really offended the first time I said it. It's impossible for as good as whatever you think you're brewing today for it not to be better. You think that it's good now, it's going to get better. And you know, because you're doing something wrong. If you don't get better at what you do, when that's what you're doing, you know, professionally, then you're doing something wrong. Then you are somebody who doesn't want to hear that, you know, that things need to be improved. So that's what I do love. I've not really heard, there are a handful of people when they hear criticism, they get, you know, their quills go up and they're kind of dicky about it. But we want to talk about the lunch beer, Luke. And
which
I do
is
think
really
that
good.
Is that I haven't had it yet.
Yes.
And I know that Colin, this was one of the beers that Colin picked up for the show. So do you guys want to talk about it?
I'm drinking it right now.
Nice.
Glorious.
He's good, no?
Yeah. And that's, let's say, what do we do with that one? Citra and Columbus. Citra and Columbus, for this beer, to kind of let the pininess play off the Citra and kind of give it a different flavor. Usually you see Citra either alone or with other citrusy hops, so we wanted to give it a little bit of a different combination and see what it would do. It's got a little bit of dextrose in there to dry it out because we don't want it to be real cloying. There's actually different kinds of Munich in there to kind of give that complexity and smell. Take it over. Is that another train?
No, I'm here.
Is there like a group of people standing here?
Fucking train.
There's more sound effects in this show than I think, like, cumulatively from every show we've ever done.
More animals for sure.
There was the animals. Drew,
the cows.
There's no cows.
No, there was a cow.
Was there a cow?
It sounded like a cow.
It was a goose, dude.
That was my phone vibrating. It did sound like a little bit like a cow.
Oh, his phone. There you go. Okay, makes sense.
There we go.
Yeah, because we were just looking at each other. It's like those are the weirdest brewery noise. There we go.
Yeah.
Or like a really bad case of gas.
This is like the farm animal in mass transit.
I'm sorry. Go on. Finish telling us about the lunch beer, Luke.
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's a little bit of a different recipe for us, but it's, I don't know, we like it, but it's easy for us to say that.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it a lot.
We're all digging it.
But out of IPAs, out of a big double IPA, we kind of want it, you know, we want it to be dry. We want it to be focused on the, in this case, the citra hops. So you get that citrusy stuff, and, you know, we want it to be about the hops. So we put a bunch of dextrose in there to dry it out. And, you know, we focus on that rather than it having, you know, too much maltiness to it.
It's dangerously drinkable.
Yeah, it is.
Got me drunk.
Yeah.
Is that what you're drinking right now, Drew?
I am drinking the backwards tap. Backside.
The one with the Larry Bird. That label's awesome.
Sounds like a personal choice.
Hey, Colin, do you have any questions for the guys?
Well, first, I just want to say I love the copy on your bottles. I'm a sucker for just witty shit on a bottle, and the little blurbs that you got on them are tremendous. Thanks. It's an interesting process. They come together in pieces. We find that when we try to sit and write them, if you try to force it, it doesn't work. So we kind of have these different brainstorming sessions to get something down on paper, and then it just kind of comes. I said it earlier, a lot of what we do is about how we are in our regulars, and it makes it easy to kind of incorporate our feelings into the copy. That way it's not forced, and it's actually a fairly true representation of what we think most of the time.
I still want to know who all these people are that they've named these beers.
I definitely want to know who Luke is specifically.
This makes me think of cool hand Luke.
Yeah, anybody who stops a skateboard and eats a fucking cigarette? I mean, come on, man. Serious shit.
Luke's actually our art guy. He does all of the label art, and he helps us out with other tasks at the brewery. He was our first full-time employee.
I was a bike messenger with Luke. That's how I met Lucas.
Ah.
Another angry Chicagoan.
That hates fucking pigeons.
Yeah, what is the pigeon story before we let you guys go? Like, what's the deal with the pigeon love?
Or the lack thereof?
Pigeons suck, yeah. Dealing with pigeons sucks. And I don't know, we thought it was a We thought, you know, people in the city can appreciate how much pigeons are, you know, they're a nuisance.
And goddamn pigeons.
They're a pain in the ass. So we figured we dislike them. We say, you know, like fucking pigeons, goddamn pigeons. So we thought it was looking at it.
Flying rat.
I was gonna say
yes.
Well,
I agree.
Say, like, I've, exactly. Most of my life, I've been near the ocean, so it's the same
like
with seagulls.
I know. Yeah. Oh, they're so like, pretty. They fucking eat garbage.
Right. Crap all over your car every time.
Yeah. Like, is that a lighter in
all
the ship?
All I'm going to say is, Corey, you're going to get 1,000 emails from Cheetah and 1,000 emails.
Me? I'm not the one who's got an elephant with half her tusk.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like someone's been abusing a cow and a duck half the show. No, so. Dude,
just thinking on beer drinkers, like that's probably going to help the show. Just like post them and be like, yeah, look what Cheetah said about us. Like, fuck yeah, man, I'm going to start listening.
No pigeons were hurt in making any beer, correct?
Right. Outside of
I don't
making beer,
you.
Fuck those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Right, there were a lot more pigeons injured during his bike messenger career.
Right.
Pigeons were injured daily during.
Oh, you just hit a pigeon. No, it's just a speed bump. Speed bump.
Well, listen, guys.
Man, we're all going to hell.
No. This is what's going to. Listen, you know me better. This is not what's going to get me sent to hell. I'm going to hell, but not because of pigeons.
Yeah. That's the least of my fucking worries.
Exactly. Listen, guys, are ready to, you know, expand the brewery, or you want to come back on and talk, or if you want to come on and guest host the show with us, you're always welcome to come back. But it was great to finally get a chance to talk to you and to taste your beers. Yes. And,
thank you.
And I'm hopefully that's one of the places Drew will take me to when I head up to Chicago. But it was great talking to you. Brad, thank you for joining us. That was a nice surprise.
No problem. Lost my goddamn money. Thanks a lot, Brad. Thank you so much for including us. This stuff is great. We love being a part of it. Freddie, how you doing, buddy? And what up, dude? Drew, can you get off Twitter and Facebook, Brad? Brad doesn't know what this, you speak of is Twitter. Yeah, as I'm flipping my channel right now, Brad, thank you very much. I tagged Brad one time on Facebook, and he never responded. I'm like, okay, then, like, weeks later, I was talking to Jason. I was like, hey, let's do it. Forget it. He's like, he probably has no clue what tagging means.
Yeah. Yo, some son of a bitch tagged me. Like, motherfucker.
It's not for everybody. We have to. Now, I tell you, if Jason wasn't the one, somebody is taking care of the social media for Spiteful. It's probably not right. But if he didn't have somebody doing it, you have to do it. We have been sucked into that hole. Like, we're not, you know, I think Drew and I kind of fall into the same thing. We end up on our personal pages promoting the professional stuff. Like, I just, you know, you get sucked in, you can't get off. I mean, I have to say, it's like Facebook, it's like the first fucking thing I have to look at in the morning. And there's like 20 people that, like, I don't know that, you know, that want to be my friend, or like, they have the question. And I don't have a problem with it, but you don't know them.
So popular, Corey.
No, I'm not. I have four different, I've got Fermilab, I've got Veterans and Craft, I've got Craft, I've got Under My Host. So you have all these people and you don't know who they are. If it just somehow imploded, it would be okay.
Or the guy who's been following your page for a year and said, I didn't know you guys were open on Monday. It's on our fucking page.
Right.
I see how much information you get from my fucking page.
Oh, wait, you do a show? Like, what kind of show? What kind of show do you do? Like,
beer? Yeah.
Immediately, that's like an immediate unfriend. It's like, why am I even friends with you if you're not even listening?
You mean craft beer like Shock Top? Yeah, that stuff's good.
No,
that's the most mentioned beer on the show now.
It probably is.
I know, you plug them way too much. Yeah. Stop.
I do plug them. I plug them.
But listen, guys, you're welcome back anytime. If Spiteful Brewing, if you happen to be in the Chicago area, check the guys out. Do you open the brewery for tours, or I know you guys want people, Brad. So ask for Brad. Go
to the it.
Bring him a pigeon.
The size
he loves
of it,
pigeons.
It sounds like it would be like, all right, you look over there, you look over there, see you later.
Buy a beer on your way out.
Have a roasted pigeon.
Exactly. Barbecue pigeons all day long, every day.
Freddie Swelm, Capone's Liquor, and Drew of 18th Street, and then, of course, Colin Joliet. You guys, thanks for guest hosting tonight, and Jason and Brad, Spiteful Brewing. You guys were great, and thank you for being guests.
And thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. If you guys want to follow us on... thank you. If you want to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, undermyhost.com. We're on all those things. So thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Friday night, the lights are out. You're going to hear your friends go.